This is an interview taken for the Western Sydney Women's Oral History Project, From Farms to Freeways, Women's Memories of Western Sydney. This interview today is with Mrs. Rita Camilleri of 17 Targo Road, Pendle Hill, and the date is the 18th of October 1991.
My name is Rita Camilleri. My address, 17 Targo Road, Pendle Hill. Place of birth, Malta. Marital status, I'm a widow. Nationality, Maltese. Number of children, four daughters.
So I'll just ask you, first of all, how long have you lived in this area here?
Since 1938. 1939, when we first came from Malta. My father had rented a house on Pendle Way. Mm-hmm. Then he bought another house. Then he bought a house with 4 acres of land down in Gurrawayne Magawa Road. And then we lived there. I got married, and then I came to this house here. And then my father, after a while, he sold the land and he built the house here close to me because I was the only child in the family. And they were close to us here, and I lived in this house ever since. You know, always been here. Brought up the family. We had a market garden. Oh. Which my husband bought. He was a cane cutter in Queensland. Then he came down here. He bought the 3 acres of land, and he started to work in the garden. And then the war started, and he had a contract with the military to supply vegetables to the military. So he wasn't called for services. And we always worked in the garden, we always worked together here, till he passed away. Mm-hmm. And I had a good life. It was very, very hard work, real hard work. But if I had to do it, I'd do it again, mm-hmm. I'd do it again.
So when did you actually get married? What year was that?
I got married in 1943.
And you came to live in this house?
I came to live in this house. Did 3 years after we arrived in Australia, I got married.
And was he also Maltese?
Yes, he was a Maltese. He was in Australia 12 years. Always in Queensland cutting cane. Mm. He came in the Big Depression. And my father, when we came, my father was here 12 years as well before he could bring us up here. Because he came in a Big Depression.
He had to save the money.
So it was hard to save any money and keep us in Malta as well, you know. And that's how it finished.
So when you came to this house, the house was already built, was it?
Or it was just the bricks outside. And he fixed up a bathroom. He fixed up a bedroom, lined it. And he bought an electric stove. so he can cook. Mm-hmm. And then when we got engaged, well, he fixed it all up. Then.
This is your father?
My husband.
Oh, he lived here and cooked. And
Mm-hmm. And the other house we had, which my father had, he made it in the market garden, and I went there and he worked in the market, my father's market garden. And yet, in Malta, you know, I was in college.
You were?
Yes, came from college. Mm-hmm. And when I came here, I had no friends.
So how old would you have been?
I was 15.
15.
Mm-hmm. It was a very lonely life. No friends.
Did you have any neighbours here?
We had neighbours, but they were all men. They were all men, because then the war started, and there was no more nobody coming to Australia anymore during the war. Mm-hmm. So I was just here on very lonely, no girls my age, and all the boys were after me. I couldn't go out the door. And it was really, really, I had it very lonely at that time. Then I put myself working in the garden, my father's garden. He had men working there because my father was a market, like an agent at the market. And we employed a couple of men, and I worked with them in the garden.
And what was it like, what was the countryside like? What was your impression of it when you first
came? When we first came, I was scared, because we came in Morta, you know, everything is so close together, buildings joined to each other, sort of. And, you know, no locking of the house. You go to bed, you don't lock your doors. Horses all around the house. And birds on the iron, you know, it was very scary, very scary.
So that sense of space around you was
It was a bit frightening, but I loved it. But at the same time, I loved it. I loved the way it was. I loved it, that room around the house, that garden around the house. I loved it very much.
Did that make you feel a sense of freedom?
Till I got used to this different situation, environment, you know. But then when I loved it. I loved it. But it was lonely, very lonely.
So when you first got married and lived here in this house, was this the only house in the street at that time? Because it looks a lot older than the surrounding
houses. This house was probably the first house that was built in this area. People lived in sheds.
Really?
Yes. And I think this was maybe the one next door was built, the one next door here. But there might be the second one here. Otherwise they were all gardens and they all lived in sheds. Mm.
The whole area was market gardens?
They all here was market gardens.
And what sort of people, were they Australian?
They were all Maltese. All Maltese. Mm. Yeah, all Maltese.
So all the Maltese people tended to settle in one area?
Well, Pendle Hill was full with Maltese. Mm. They called it Little Malta here. And it's still but since it's been built up, you know, it's a mixture of people. Mm-hmm. But before, you can say all the roads were Maltese.
Really?
Because the Australians, they bought the land from the Australians. Mm-hmm. And they opened the land. Some of them market gardens. Some of them, they built sheds and they had chickens, poultry farms. Mm-hmm. But that was really what Pendle Hill was all about.
And did you work in the garden when you were first married too? And
yes, and we worked together in the garden. But hard work, long hours.
And very hot, I suppose.
And long hours. Mm. And you sometimes used to, in summer, wake up 3 o'clock in the morning and then go to bed till 12 o'clock at night.
Really? And working all that time?
Yeah, working all the time, looking after the family. Mm. And
you had four daughters.
And look after the house, and it was a full-time job anyway. But when you're young, nothing is too much for you.
So what would your daily routine have been like?
In summer, you wake up very early in the morning, and we say cut the lettuce sometimes early in the morning, and then I take the clock with me, so I come up here, wake up the children, get them ready for school, give them a good breakfast, cook a good breakfast, whatever they wanted. And because they never used to eat their lunch, so I made sure they had a good breakfast. And then I send the children to school, make up the bed quickly, go down again. And then we got a lot of work done, I come up and make breakfast for my husband again. And then we start with the tying up, bunching, and all that sort of things that makes you go in the garden. And it takes you again till lunch. Then you come up, have some lunch, go back to it again. And then maybe a bit before about three o'clock, I come and prepare tea, dinner. And so then I just cook it, and we'll be going till about 10 o'clock at night. Come up, have lunch, have dinner about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And my husband then starts the watering, waiting for the carrier to come to load up. And that was our day.
And your vegetables went into Sydney markets.
Sydney markets, yes.
Mm-hmm. It was a long, hard day, wasn't it?
Yeah, sometimes he used to take vegetables as well to Katoomba markets. We used to have big orders there. We used to take, and we only had 3 acres of land.
I was just going to ask you how much land.
And it's 3 acres of land, but the stuff that came out of this place. Everybody, well, we used to be loading for Katoomba or something like that. Everybody used to pass by because they couldn't believe that it was only out of three. But we had 2 crops in one bed growing all the time. So we worked hard. It was a very hard working man.
Like companion planting, isn't it? You know, planting.
Say you have lettuce, say they have grown, then you may put carrots in them. Or you put beetroot in them, so they grow up. You cut the lettuce, and you've got the beetroot almost ready just for thinning. Mm. So that's how we were working, say, 8 acres of land. And then we rented another piece next door. We used to put cabbages and things like that in it. And just the two of us, we worked about 10 acres of land, and we had no machinery,
believe. You worked the equivalent of 10 acres, but really only 3 and a bit.
Yeah. And we had no machinery except the rotary hoe. That's all. Mm-hmm. Because we had no tractors or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Everything was done by hand. But it was done. And we always had, sometimes we had it bad, sometimes we had it good. It depends on the weather. Many times we had a hailstorm and it took everything. And we saw back again and another one comes. But we always had food on the table and always had enough money to pay our bills. And maybe we put a little bit behind us for a rainy day for winter.
Who handled the accounts? Did you or your husband?
I did.
You did?
I did. I did. He just worked and we worked together, sort of, but I managed everything.
And the children went to school nearby?
The children went to school. First and went to Catholic school. Then from there, they went to the Catholic schools in Parramatta.
And did they walk to school from here, or?
No, they had all had to catch buses.
Did they? There was a bus service.
From when? Yeah, there was a bus service. Mm-hmm. And then when the Maltese built this church up here, the Lady of Peace, the youngest one, she went there. She went to that one. And then she went to the Mercy College in Parramatta.
And so you had your family living around you, or close by, your father?
Yeah, here, yes.
And you were an only child?
Yes.
Did your mother live here too?
Yes, with my father, yes.
And did you have other relatives?
Then I had an uncle. An uncle came from Malta. And he lived on this road, but a bit far from me, but I used to see each other. You know, used to come here, or I went there visiting. And that's all.
What did you do for help looking after the children after school, or
no,
if they were sick or anything? Did you have anyone to help you?
No, I didn't. My mother used to come and help me when they were babies, say. She stayed with them up there and look after them, you know. She used to do that for me a bit. But I did it all by myself.
And the community, the Maltese community around about, did you get support from them if you needed help in any way?
Well, you don't get support, but we were very close. Mm. If anybody is sick, you know that that man is sick. Mm. If there is a wedding, everybody is invited. If somebody has a baby, everybody knows there's a baby. We were very close.
So that is a nice feeling.
Very nice feeling. And we started it because I was involved with the La Valette Social Center.
What's the name of that?
La Valette Social Center. And Mark, the one that ran, we started to have reunions. We used to invite all the oldies like that, so we all used to meet each other, because then when the children started to grow up, you know, then the Maltese sort of separated a little bit, because then you have the families. Sunday they all come to your place, and you're occupied with your families. And before it wasn't like that. Before, when we had the children small, we used to visit each other a lot. If she comes to me, then I go to her. And that's how we used to spend Sunday afternoons, visit each other. But then when the children start to grow, you get involved with your families. They come to you, you go to them. And so then it got a bit separated. But we always kept in touch. Till the new ones started to come after the war, then I tell you, most of them I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know who they are. But we started to have these reunions, as I said, with La Valette, and they were very, very enjoyable, because sometimes you don't see those people for years. And with these reunions, you get together again and you talk about the old times, and what's been happening since I've met, and it was very, very enjoyable, but then they stopped it.
And were most of the Maltese women
doing
the same sort of thing as you?
Market
gardens?
Yeah, most of it, market gardens and poultry farms. Mm-hmm. Very little, very few that went to work. Then when they started to come after the war, with the immigration, then the women all went to work in factories and things like that, and they all lived. People here, they took the chickens off the shed and put people in them.
Really?
That came from Malta. They lived in sheds.
Literally in chicken sheds.
And chicken sheds not like they are today. Mm. The old-fashioned way, you know, just a bit of iron here and there. And that's the way they lived, with 4 and 5 children. But wherever I go, I always praise the Maltese people, because they are people that they want to do everything for themselves. They don't ask for help. They do it the hard way, but they get there. It's very, very... I went to a seminar, as a matter of fact, that Macquarie University for 3 days. It was about the ethnic people. And, you know, everybody moans, who wants this and who wants that, who wants holidays, who wants this. I could never find the thing to say that the Maltese didn't get by themselves. If they wanted a house, they built the house. If they wanted to have a holiday, they saved for their holidays and they went. Whatever they did it by themselves. They came out of their sheds, they went into their homes, they brought up the family, and they did well. They did well. For that, I praise the Maltese, because they are very, very people that... They do it by themselves.
Very self-sufficient.
Yeah, because in Malta, when I was there, it was very poor, very poor. A man would get maybe 15 shillings a day. They all had very big families. If you get sick, well, there is no money coming in, no pensions, nothing, nothing. If you get old, you know, you beg. So those people, they always managed under big hardships. And that big hardship saved them when they came to this country. Although they found, you know, there were land to be worked, there is work to do, hard work to do, they got into it and they did what they wanted. For that reason, I really praise them. I really praise them. I got great praise for them, all these people, really.
And did you find that that things improved after the war in any way?
Straight after the war, it was very hard for the people that came here because there was no homes to rent. And there was some kind of accommodation. Say, I have to make an accommodation for a family of 4 and 5. And, I make that accommodation for them. And then, you know, I can't keep them here for a long period. But there was nowhere to go. So they went and lived in the shed.
Really?
You put them up as long as you can till they find the hole where they can get into.
So without that support from people in the community?
No, you couldn't come up here. My father was in charge of all these things up around here. He did everything for the Maltese around this district. And, that it was hard. It was very, very hard. But that hardship paid in the long run because they didn't come here and they expected to find everything ready for them. They didn't expect to find a house ready for them. They came here to get better, to improve themselves, whatever it comes, and they did.
They were willing to accept.
They were very willing to accept. No matter what hardship they had to suffer, they did it. Because they know that at the end it will pay. Because this was a good country. And they knew that if they worked hard, they will get somewhere. Which they did. And I tell you today, these districts here are the richest people around. Mm-hmm. Up to Blacktown. They all had the land. They all sold it. And they really did well. And I can't say that the Maltese need anything. The Maltese need anything to that they will ask the government to do for them. I can't see anything.
So what did you do about shopping in the area? Did you have shops nearby?
Most of the shopping we used to go either to Parramatta, but in those days we used to get the grocer used to come here, give it the order, she brings the groceries here. The butcher, he comes here. The baker, he put the bread under in the box outside. Milk used to get it from next door. They had the cows. Eggs, we had the chickens. So it wasn't hard. Sometimes I say it's harder today for the people than it was in those days.
Yes.
We had everything done for us here. Mm-hmm. Because you would otherwise, you wouldn't have time to go and do any shopping. But like that, you always got your shopping home. Mm-hmm. Many times, we never touched that gate for a month. We didn't have time to go, but... With that, and you manage to, whatever you've got, you do it and you cook well. Mm. We had plenty of vegetables. Mm. So we never went hungry. We always had good food on the table for the children.
Did you have a car to go shopping
with? We had a little truck. It used to be an old Chev. And he bought it for £5. And he fixed it.
£5.
Because it wasn't going. Men had it thrown in the paddock for an awful long time. And he bought it for £5. We fixed it like a little truck, just a little truck. And we had it for the garden here. It saved us an awful lot of, manure and things like that. Big boxes, always bring it up. It was good for us. It worked for us. And we didn't buy a car. About 5-6 years after we got married. Mm. Then we saved and or even more than 6 years. We had the truck, but he registered it and it took us anywhere. And then we bought a new car. In our lifetime, we only had two cars.
And what about clothes? Shopping for clothes?
Oh, I used to go to Parramatta. And my mother made most of the clothes for my children. And I knitted a lot. And I made, whenever it was a rainy day, then I'd do a bit of sewing. And they were very well-dressed children. Never looked after them, washed well. And they looked after the clothes, whatever that was for good, they had the good clothes for home, they had their home clothes. And wherever I took them, they were always beautifully dressed. I mean to say, you know.
And what did you do for entertainment, or didn't you have enough time for
anything? Well, once in a while, we used to go and see a film. Not always, maybe in winter mostly. And then the children, the three used to go to sleep. So it wasn't much fun. So then we decided that if there is a good film, I go, say, in the afternoon, and he stayed with the children. And then he goes at night and takes the eldest one with him because she didn't go to sleep. So we managed like that. Otherwise, you know, you go visit people or something like that. They talk about the garden, and the women talk about the families, and that's what it's all about. You get on. The radio, and we had the radio as well.
And did you have time to do anything of your own interest? Like
no, that helped. Mm. No interest. No, never your own interests. I didn't even think of it, you know, because you'd be so busy that you know, you can't really make it in. And there wasn't any at that time. The word is, there was no associations, nothing. So everybody, you know, is there at work from morning till dark, and that's it.
And when did you notice the change start around here with the market gardens being sold and people building more houses?
Well, this started since this land here was one of the first that came out of the green belt. And we sold this land next to nothing. $5,000 we sold 3 acres of land. Mr. Eskin has a lot to do with it.
What would you have paid for it when you bought it?
He paid £700.
£700?
Yeah.
You sold it how many years later?
Oh, geez. I say 20 years later.
For $5,000.
Mm-hmm. But to what it's going today, that was nothing. You only get it for half an acre, or 1 acre. But, we managed.
So you had the 3 acres for the vegetable gardens, as well as the area that the house was on, did you?
Yeah, we had all this, right down to the creek, down to Wayena Road. Yeah.
And so did you find the churches in the area played a big role in your life?
The school did. Mm-hmm. Like we used to, you know, bake cakes and send them for the fete. Mm-hmm. And the schools, they have a fete or something like that. I used to take part in where the children were involved. Mm-hmm. I always did. And that's the only thing really. But the church was, the parish was Wente. And then when the Maltese were all around here, the Maltese started to think that they built a club. And they started, my father was the treasurer and the president, and they started, and there was £700. They saved got £700, put them in the bank, but then the association did keep going. So my father said, those $700 will stay in the bank till something turns up the Maltese want to do. And they decided to buy the piece of land up here, Pendle Way, opposite Pendle, on Old Prospect Road. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to build a church. And so that money was the first money that went in there, and they bought the land, they built the church. The church was paid before it was finished.
Now, is this a Catholic church?
This is a Catholic church. Mm-hmm. And now this church here is one of the best churches in New South Wales. There's schools, high school, there's everything in it, everything in it.
Was there a Catholic church?
Wente.
Oh, you had to go to Wentworthville, is that?
Yeah, that was the parish, but before I got married, we used to go to Toongabie. Mm-hmm. And that Toongabie church was the Catholic, it was the Catholic owned it, but we go to church in the morning, and used to be picture theatre, show films and all that during the week and Saturday. Mm-hmm. And the Monsignor from Parramatta McGovern, he used to come and say Mass here every Sunday. Mm-hmm. But we always had a church. We always went to church.
And so when you went to the movies, that was where you went, was it? Or?
Yeah, well, maybe we go. No, we used to go to Parramatta. When I got married,